Bibles, you can go ahead and open your Bibles up to James chapter 4. We're going to be looking at verses 13 through 17, and kind of a weird sermon title this morning. It's a question, and it's the question, are you a Christian atheist? That almost doesn't even sound right. Let me explain a little bit. Matter of fact, last night I stayed up later than everybody else reading a lot about atheists and reading about some of the famous atheists. And yeah, that's what I do on Saturday night. Pretty depressing. But anyway, I woke up about 5:30 or 6. I can't remember exactly. I never have nightmares. I never dream. I woke up just shouting my wife's name and just sat up in bed, which I never, do. And so I don't know if I'd eaten something wrong or maybe just reading about atheists got me all worked up. I don't know exactly. But anyway, I learned a lot about atheists, and I think you need to be aware of what an atheist is. And there's a lot of misconceptions. But I went to the dictionary first, and here's the definition of an atheist. A person who disbelieves or lacks belief in the existence of God or gods. Okay? Well, that's in a dictionary. I thought, well, I'll go to the American Atheist page. Not Facebook page, but I Googled it and went to their page because I don't want to just say what somebody else has said about atheists. And here's how they define atheist. Atheism is one thing. A lack of belief in gods. So, same thing. An atheist is a person who does not believe in any kind of deist, God, supernatural power, none. And there are a lot of famous ones out there, and they've written some books that have unfortunately been real popular. A lot of times what the atheists base their whole life upon, or several tenets, is basically science. You let science kind of... They wouldn't say that science is their God, but science is what directs them. They would say philosophy, and that it guides their thinking, what men think, and it kind of guides what they do and do not do. Or reason, just human reason. An atheist would say, we just need to be reasonable and do what is best. So that's what atheists believe, but so I looked up the definition of a theist. Theist is a person who believes in the existence of a god or gods, specifically of a god who intervenes in the universe. So a theist is someone, it doesn't even have to be a Christian, who believes in a supernatural power, and they believe that that power has, at times at least, been interactive with mankind. So what is a Christian? Well, a Christian, it would be considered a theist, but a Christian would be a person who believes that you can have a friendship with God through Jesus Christ. In other words, because you trust Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you have a relationship with God. And remember, Jesus is God. And so, to be a Christian is to say that because of Jesus Christ, I'm in a relationship with God Himself. I'm not here alone. God didn't just throw me into the universe and I'm here and I don't have any connection. No. As a Christian, I actually believe that I have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. And not only that, because of my relationship with God, I have a purpose. I'm not here just for a 70 to 100 years. I'm here. I have a purpose and I have a relationship. And get this, I get my morality, I get my directions in life from God, not reason. Listen, I'll tell you right now, trusting my own personal reason is the worst thing I can do. Now, I'm not talking about using my head and my mind and my common sense. I'm just saying that as a Christian, God, through His Word, leads me in how to live my life. Now, James is going to be talking in these verses to the Christians that he wrote. And when you first read this, it doesn't sound too bad. But when you start looking at it, he's really telling these Christians that they need to quit living like atheists. Let's look at James chapter 4, verses 13 through 17. It says this. Now listen. He's saying, listen. You who say, today or tomorrow we will go to this or that city, spend a year there, carry on business, and make money. Now that doesn't sound bad. There's nothing wrong with going to work in a different city. I mean, you know, that's... But he's... I want you to pay attention. He says this then. He says, why? You don't even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if it's the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. As it is, you boast and brag. All such boasting is evil. Then he gets to a tough verse. He says this, Anyone then who knows the good he ought to do and doesn't do it sins. Now, that sounds not too bad, but when you really start diving into what James is talking about, remember James is the half-brother of Jesus, when you really start looking at what he is saying in those verses, he's saying several things about how to live your life and how not to live your life. I tried to be positive. First time I wrote this message, I wrote it negative, and I thought, no, I'm going to be positive. But I'm really correcting the negative. So here's the first point that he's trying to tell us in verse 13. This is the hardest part. Give God your calendar. He says, now listen, you who say today or tomorrow we will go and do this or that in that city, spend a year there, carry on business and make money. It seems like an innocent verse, but really there is nothing wrong with having a job. I hope you have a job. And if you travel in your job, he's not against you traveling in your job. He's not against you making money. What he is against is that you live your calendar without his concern, without his input. The problem is, these people were planning their lives. And I believe in planning. I'm a things to do guy. I have a things to do list. I have calendars. I have them on my phone. I have them on my computer. He's not against planning. He's against, though, leaving God out of your planning. Now, here's what you need to remember. What we typically do as Christians is we make our plans and then ask Him to bless them, correct? What about asking Him what our plans should be? You see, an atheist would never consult God or be concerned about what God wanted them to do tomorrow. Because there's no God. And yet, James is, in these verses to me, he's saying, listen, Christians, don't be like that. I'm not against making money. I'm not against having a job. What I'm against is you leave me out of it all. And really, when we talk about the Lordship of Christ, we people say, well, God first, family second, work third. No, let me help you with that. It's always God first. God first in your business, God first in your family, God first in everything. And what we tend to do, think about it. Have you even consulted God about your schedule next week? What about tomorrow? He wants you to work. I'm not saying that, but have you talked to him about how you're going to work and who you're going to work with? And have you left him out? In Luke 17 through 26 through 28, Jesus is telling a story, and he says this. He says, just as it was in the days of Noah. You remember who Noah was? This guy that built the boat for many, many days before it rained. He says, in the days of Noah, so also will it be in the days of the Son of Man. People were eating and drinking. There is nothing wrong with eating and drinking. Hopefully every single one of us here eats and drinks. He says they were marrying and being married. There's nothing wrong with getting married and or being single. And then he says, up to the day Noah entered the ark, then the flood came and destroyed them all. What was their problem? They were eating and drinking and marrying and getting married and all that. The problem was that the people in Noah's day gave God no thought. Knowing them, I mean, they just walked up on the boat and said, see you later. They weren't paying attention. They weren't asking questions. They were living their life without a thought of God. We too had the same problem. We eat, we get married, we do our life, and ask God to bless it. Instead of asking, what does He want us to do with our life, our marriage, our family? And it's, to me, it's so about not leaving God out of our daily lives, our weekly lives, our monthly lives. Don't make all your, make your plans, but don't leave God out of them. Jesus, in Luke 6:46, said, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? He's talking about living your life. Don't live like an atheist. Give Him your calendar. Let Him be Lord of your week. Let Him be Lord of your vacation. Let Him be Lord of everything you do. That is the first thing I see in there that is so practical, but we miss. Second thing, be flexible. Be flexible. Look at verse 14, the very first part. He says, why you don't even know what will happen tomorrow. What a true statement. Life is so fragile. Life is so unpredictable. You don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. It is so unpredictable. So you better be careful in your planning and leaving God out, because tomorrow life is unpredictable and you don't know what's going to happen. You need to learn to live with flexibility. Right? You don't plan your bad times. They find you. You go through difficulties, trials, circumstances. And a lot of times Christians are destroyed by that because it's messing up their plans. And so you've got to be careful and understand that life is flexible. Listen to what it says in Proverbs 27:1. Do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what a day may bring forth. Now, be careful about boasting. You don't know what tomorrow is going to bring. Be flexible. In Matthew 28, verse 20, it says, and surely I'm with you always, even to the very end of the age. I mean, I don't know what tomorrow holds, but I know who's with me. Now, what do you do when bad times come? You're flexible. How do you handle a tragedy? How do you handle a crisis in your life? Well, it's Romans 8:28 for the believer, and we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. So I'm going to be flexible. I don't know what tomorrow is going to be. You don't know what tomorrow is going to be. Here's what I do know. When it comes, if difficulty comes, He'll be there with me and He'll bring good out of it. May not be what I think is good, but He'll bring good out of it. So I can face tomorrow with confidence. As long as I'm flexible. But let me tell you, when you're not flexible, you break. You break when hard times come. You know, if you look at an airplane wing, it goes up and down. Why? Because if it didn't go up and down, it'd break off. Flexibility is a part of living in a world that's fallen, a world that has difficulty. You need to be sure that you're flexible. And you know, sometimes the church is the least flexible place that you'll come. Now, here's real interesting. We're making changes. Some people will love them, some people won't love them. You know, but the truth is, LED lights are cheaper and better to have nowadays. Okay? Some of you say, well, why are y'all putting LED? Because it's smart. I mean, that's not biblical, but I mean, you know. And we're going to put TVs up. But what's in the center of our baptistry now? The message doesn't change. Just some of the technology changes. Some of the times change. And if you don't change with the times, you'll get left behind. That's just reality. Some of you bought a car. You didn't used to have one, did you? I mean, I've had people say that they had, horse and buggy. I mean, we all drive cars. Listen, churches change. You have an air condition. They didn't used to have air condition, right? You want to go back to the old days? I don't. You got to be flexible. Or here's a suggestion. If you don't want to change as a Christian in the church, go be an Amish. And they just find ways to cheat. They can't own a cell phone, but they can use yours. I love 1 Chronicles 12:32. It says, "The men of Issachar who understood the times and knew what Israel should do." Part of being flexible is living in the times and understand the message never changes. The technology, the songs may change. Listen, those old time songs were new songs at one time. Go back and ask what they sang in the early church. Probably went in the hymnal. Be flexible. Life is fragile. Be flexible. Third thing, know that life is short. Then this is, you know about humbling. What is your life? He's going to answer it. "You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes." Let me tell you what I can guarantee you. I can't guarantee you a lot, but I can guarantee you you're going to die. And I can guarantee you'll die probably before you're 100. Maybe not in a few more years with technology. Life is short. It's fragile. On my memory page yesterday on Facebook, a picture came up with my dad last year with the Easter Bunny in the assisted living. 1 year ago, my dad looked so good. He still had issues. Now, he's in heaven. Life is short. See, if you're a teenager, you think you're going to live together. You have no guarantees. Adults don't have guarantees. Life is short. Now, an atheist would say, well, when you're done, you're done. And that's true. Except you have somewhere to go after. You know, watching my dad die was just a reality check for me because there was a person in the body and then he left. Where did he go? I mean, I saw it. You're more than just a body. You're more than just science. It's a personality. Life is short. Life is fragile. I'm always amazed. The other day there was a wreck somewhere and someone got killed. And Julie was with me and she said, you know, if we wouldn't have had this happen, we would have been right there about the time of that wreck. And she's right. Life is, you have no guarantees. Now, I'm not trying to be gloom and doom, but I'm just being real. That's my melancholy person. I'm just telling you how it is. Let me tell you this. Here's what the scripture says. Psalm 90:12. "Teach us to number our days aright, that we may gain a heart of wisdom." Wow. Are you measuring your days? Are you measuring your future and trying to make the most of it? Are you just care? Listen, the thing about time, the thing about days is once you spend it, it's gone. It's the one thing, and you can lose all your money and gain it back. You don't gain any time back. Once it's gone, it's gone. So do your loving now. Tell people you love them. Don't count on tomorrow being here because you may not have that. That's reality. Ephesians 5:15-16 says, "Be very careful then how you live. Not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil." Let me tell you what, parents. There will come a time where you can't make an impact on your kids like you do now. Make sure they get the right kind of opportunities. You're going to have everything out there wanting your kid. Your kid's probably not going to be a pro player. He may be a professional something someday, he may not. Go study thoughts. But here's what I do know. He's going to die someday. That's what matters. You know, give him what matters, not what doesn't matter. Give him Jesus. You know, I'm not against sports. Play sports. Be best. Dominate. Win. I'm all about that. But don't cheat their opportunities to grow closer to God. That's just me, free. My kids are grown. You get one life to live. Are you going to glorify yourself or are you going to glorify God? How are you spending your life? Are you wise or unwise? Bob Patterson was a man in my church in Dallas who accepted Christ in his 70s, got baptized in his 70s, and went on 2 mission trips before he died at 75. You know what Bob did? He took advantage of the time he had left. A lot of people never go on a mission trip. He got one in before he died. He only had 5 years to do it. He always was such an impression on my life. Don't live like an atheist. Live wisely. Let God help you with your calendar. Don't live unwise. Fourth thing, trust God with your future. In verses 15 and 16, he basically says what you should do. He says, instead of telling God where you're going to go, instead, you ought to say, if it's the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. As it is, you boast and brag. All such boasting is evil. Because your life is so temporary, you need to trust your life to God, who's more than a vanishing mist. Trusting in yourself is temporary. Life is temporary. So how do you live in this life? Well, give me 3 verses that are life changers for me personally. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Listen to what it says. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. You trust Him with everything. Second thing, and lean not on your own understanding. You can't figure out everything. That's okay. But don't miss the last part. Acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight. That word acknowledge means to make Him Lord, to seek Him first, to seek His will. So here's the deal. The most important thing you ought to think about tomorrow is living for Him. And whatever you do, if you're retired, you still live for Him. If you're a teenager, you live for Him. You trust Him, you live for Him, and guess what happens when you do that? He starts to show you the path. Second thing, the verse that changed my life is Matthew 6:33. In the upper part of that chapter, he had been talking about, he was worried about food, he was worried about clothes, he was worried about this and worried about that. And Jesus said this, but seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. In other words, put Him in front and He'll take care of everything else. Now you have to do your part, but the real question, who's number one in your life? Who's number one in your work? Who's number one in your family? Who's number one in your fun, your entertainment? It better be Him. Paul wrote this when he was leaving Ephesus. He was talking to the Christians in Ephesus, and he said in Acts 18:21, but as he left, he promised, I will come back if it's God's will. That's all I know. I'll come back if it's God's will. I'll go to work tomorrow if it's God's will. Give God complete control. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 16:7, I do not want to see you now and make only a passing visit. I hope to spend some time with you if the Lord permits. Life is not lived for Paul on his schedule. It's if the Lord allows, if the Lord permits. You give God 100% of who you are. Now here's the warning in that verse 16. Be very careful about boasting about what you've done. He says, all such boasting. I hear people, they get self-help. Well, I did this. I'm a successful this. Listen. You're not anything if God didn't give you the energy and the breath and the ability to get out of bed today. I mean, that's just reality. So I get very leery of hearing people how they became successful. First of all, are they successful with Christ or are they just successful? But how did they get successful? Human boasting is worthless because it does not give God the glory. So if you are successful, be sure you boast about Him. So important to realize. But what you have to learn, don't live like an atheist. Trust God with your future. It's the only way to live. It's the best way to live. And then the last thing, probably the hardest thing, and it's one of those verses that we don't like to talk about. I made it positive. Do what you know to do. But in verse 17, it actually says this: anyone who knows the good he ought to do and doesn't do it sins. Some of you, let me just tell you this. Some of you, right where you sit, know there's some things that God wants you to do every day, and you say no. And somehow, if you don't talk about it, or if you don't think about it, or if you don't mention it, or if it's not on your things to do list, it's okay. But the truth is, according to the, if you believe in God. Now, if you're an atheist, you can do whatever you want. Why? Because it doesn't matter. There's no punishment. There's no future. I mean, it's done when you're done. But gosh, that's kind of... Let me ask you this right now. Don't answer out loud. What has God told you to do that you haven't done? This is a warning against the sin of neglect. Do you know our church would try, and our church has done well, and I love my church. Y'all are awesome. But here's what I know. Y'all would be so awesome, I couldn't hardly stand it if you just did the things God told you to do. And I don't know, too many of you, I have trouble with Bill. I can't keep up with you. Think about giving. If you just gave what God told you to give, well, our budget's been great, but what would it be like if we just gave what we're supposed to? You said, Bill, have you been looking? No, I don't look and I don't care, because that's between you and God. But what would happen? What about baptisms? Mr. Miller, 70 years old, came to church every Sunday, never had been immersed, never he had accepted Christ. Everybody tried to win him. Finally, in his 70s, he came down the front. You don't have to come down the front. You talk to me privately, whatever. And he said, Bill, I should have done this a long time ago. He said, I'm an idiot, basically. And we baptized him in the 70s, a successful engineer in St. Louis, Missouri. He knew what to do. He just didn't do it. They'd always try to take the evangelist to him and try to convince him. And they'd take the preacher by when he was new and try to convince him. I don't do that stuff. Most time people know what they should do before anybody comes to their house. Not always, but most time people know. What about worship attendance? If you did what you... Now, I'm not trying. I'm just saying. Okay, I'm just saying. It's a beautiful day, and I am grateful. I'm not on you guys for being here. My wife, you said, Bill, why do preachers beat up on the ones that are there who aren't there? I'm not going to. Just a thought. If you had something better to do, would you be doing it right now? You're not going to hurt my feelings. I know I'm not Billy Graham. Or would you be here because you believe in God and want to worship Him? Listen. If you're looking for a better gig, you don't have to look very far. Do what you need to do. What about Sunday school? Small groups. We had 17. We set a record, my group, today. I was so excited. You think that's important? Listen, that's probably more important than worship. Not that you skip the worship, but you need accountability and encouragement. Right? Wrong? Right? Yeah, okay. Just, are you awake? We don't have the PowerPoint, so I know some of y'all are suffering. I may, when we had the TVs up, have on each screen a different design going back and forth. It has nothing to do with the sermon, just to keep you... No, you melancholies, man. He's already saying that wouldn't work with her, because you'd try to figure out what's going on. But anyway, how many more people would hear the gospel if we just did what we're supposed to do? We would never have a problem with workers for any event or Sunday school. We need more classes. We need more teachers. We need more people. If you just do what you're supposed to do, all this stuff takes care of itself. Wednesday nights would be a problem. We already got a lot of people Wednesday nights, but what if everybody that... We have fun on Wednesday nights. I don't know. What is here's and I close with this. What has God told you to do? What have you been neglecting to do that He's told you to do? Please, please, don't live like an atheist. Do what God tells you to do. Do what God tells you to do. Don't procrastinate spiritually. Give Him your life. Give Him your calendar. Do that. As long as you do what is right, I'm good. The thing that concerns me, though, is that so many Christians live their lives like atheists. They're not atheists. They just live like one. There's a difference. And what happens is you miss out on God's purpose and plan, and you miss out on the good stuff. Because there's more to the spiritual life than coming to a building and all that. It's a relationship with a God who will give you direction if you'll just allow Him. Don't live like an atheist. Let's pray. Father, I give you this time. My big prayer is that we would just do what we're supposed to do, what you've told us to do, that we wouldn't live like atheists, that we would consult you with our calendars, that we would be flexible, that we would trust you with our future, that we would realize that time is very short and all we have is now, and that's the only thing we're guaranteed. Help us to do what we should do and give you the glory. I ask this in Jesus' name.